From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, a federal agency could block the Dallas Safari Club's auction to hunt an endangered black rhino. But first, to see how immigration's transforming Texas, look at the suburbs of its big cities. The second chapter of our series, Generation One, takes us to the Grapevine-Colleyville School District. Its overall student population got smaller in the last decade, while the number of non-white students doubled. As part of KERA's American Graduate Initiative, Stella Chavez visits the changing suburb to see how the schools are responding.
As you head to Grapevine's Mustang Panther Stadium for a Friday night football game, you might not notice the two red portable buildings sitting in its shadow. But come here after school and the place is packed with kids. They come every day to practice reading, use the computer lab, and work on math problems.
So how many thousands is it?
One.
Yeah, so write down one. And then how many hundreds is it?
Five.
Yeah, perfect.
Like many children in this neighborhood, Brandy Salmeron is the daughter of immigrants. Her parents came from El Salvador. They live across the street on Mustang Drive. The area is more than 50% Latino. Nearly half of the families make less than $50,000 a year. Many of the kids struggle with reading and math. Asked why she's having trouble, Brandy responds like a lot of third graders would.
I don't practice math.
Dig a little deeper, though, and Brandy tosses out some not-so-simple math terms from memory.
Standard form, word form, and alternate form, and expanded form.
Brandy's making progress, and that's the point of this center. It's an 8-year-old partnership between police and the schools. It started as a crime-fighting effort to get kids off the street. Back then, an old-fashioned popcorn machine sat outside to draw kids into the computer lab. Today, touchscreen tablets are donated, and volunteers are trained by reading specialists. One of the challenges for these kids, says outreach coordinator Colby Mowry, is life at home.
There's not a lot of structure in their homes, or there's not a lot of certainty. Many times chaos is something that they're used to, unfortunately. And so it's very hard for them to focus on their studies, to focus on their homework when they have to go home and they're not sure what home is going to look like when they get there.
Mowry, a slender 20-something, moved with his wife from Chicago last year. The job requires him to live nearby.
These are my neighbors. These are the kids that I see walking down the street as well. These are the families that we have dinner with. So this is my community. I have a very vested interest in seeing it succeed.
He's fluent in Spanish.
Tomen asiento, por favor.
That's helped him become something of a mentor and earned him quite a few nicknames.
One particular family, she calls me Joven Colby. Some kids call me Officer Colby, but I'm actually not a sworn officer, so I'm a civilian, but they get confused with that. So Colby, Colby.
Less than a mile away is another portable building the school district opened over the summer. It's called a language assessment center. Kids who aren't native English speakers get tested there and then placed in the right language program. In the last decade, the number of English language learners in Grapevine schools has climbed 60%. Laura Wernicke, a language acquisition coach, is talking to Maria Victoria Sotomayor. She tells her the English test she's about to take starts out easy and gradually gets harder. Maria's not like a lot of the kids here. She grew up learning English in Puerto Rico. When she's asked to identify objects and animals, she aces it. It's not so easy for her 17-year-old cousin, Javier Cabezudo.
Can you repeat over there?
Earring is to ear, as necklace is to...
No. I know what is necklace, yeah, but I don't know what complete the sentence.
Many larger districts have something similar, a one-stop place to help families that don't speak English. They make sure kids have the right vaccinations and are ready to enroll in school. Fort Worth, for example, has had a student placement center since 1983. Parents and children line up as early as 7 a.m. to get a spot inside. In Grapevine, it's a little more intimate, but the challenge is still great.
Learning a language is not easy, whether you're 5 or whether you're 45.
That's Jody Cox, Director of World Languages for Grapevine-Colleyville Schools. She oversees the center.
We can't take away the struggle. We can acknowledge it and support them through it and connect them with help or resources or an extra English class or a church.
That also means training for mom and dad. Healthy cooking, exercise, parenting skills. Cox says most kids learning English are native Spanish speakers. The district's also enrolling more kids who speak Korean, Urdu, Hindi, and Arabic. Sometimes parents bring a friend or family member to help translate. Bilingual specialist Zulma Arroyo remembers one conversation she had with a mom.
I had a family from Congo, and I know a little bit of French, so we kind of communicated a little bit. And she wanted to be a nurse. So she said, I'm going back to college. Because my son is going to be taking English, then I'm going to be taking English too.
For Arroyo, the joy in this job is seeing that kind of determination from immigrant parents and their kids. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
We've created a digital storytelling project for Generation One. There's an interactive world map showing which country every immigrant to Texas comes from at generation1.kera.org. A federal agency will decide by next month whether a Texan who bid $350,000 can hunt an endangered black rhino in Namibia and bring the remains back to the U.S. If the answer is no, the Dallas Safari Club says it will refund the money to Corey Knowlton of Royce City. Diwali Saikautau talked with Tim Van Norman. He's in charge of granting permits at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
What's a sport hunted trophy?
It basically consists of any parts or products that are coming from a trophy, an animal that's hunted for its horns, its skins, tusks, in the case of elephants, so forth.
Annually, you receive about 500 applications for trophies, such as leopards and elephants. Applications to import black rhinos into the U.S., that's rare, right?
This is something that hasn't happened very often. We've only had one other application. It can take months, depending on the interactions or communications with the exporting country, and going through what the management plan is, why was this particular animal chosen for hunting, what is the contribution that the hunter is providing to the long-term survival of the species.
The Endangered Species Act allows the public at least 30 days to weigh in on a hunter's application. What kind of comments do you get?
We recognize that sport hunting is not popular with a large number of people. The public comment isn't a popularity contest. We're really looking for substantive comments coming in. If there's some information that we weren't privy to before, problems with the country's management of the species, increases in poaching and documentation to help support that.
Namibia permits the killing of only a handful of black rhinos, specifically older males. Why?
They're really looking at animals that they feel are already represented genetically within the population within Namibia. Or that are, you know, could be considered a problem animal. They're too difficult to control, or they're killing, you know, younger males or females.
What's the thinking behind killing an animal to grow or protect a species?
It does seem counterintuitive to say that you go shoot an animal and then it's helping to protect it. But in this case, we're looking at a conservation fund that Namibia has set up that U.S. hunters and other hunters are paying into when they are getting a permit. Namibia has a very strong management program, has good oversight of the money that's coming in. So that money is basically an indirect benefit that's going to the species.
Tim Van Norman is chief of branch permits with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Falls Church, Virginia. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.